What's up, guys? This is Clint Locklear with Man Strong Podcast. And this is just your everyday local neighborhood conservative veteran free-loving hippie here with you. We're going to talk about some things that you might find interesting. Some of you, because I know who a lot in the audience is, I'm probably going to lose you on this one. And that's okay. It's going to be somewhat kind of partially maybe 20% of the Strongman Podcast going forward, or Man Strong Podcast going forward, talking about this type thing, just for the simple fact that I think it's very needed, and it's not something that is easy to listen to, but I think if you will give it a fair shot and think about it and think about what you're hearing, then you can go do your own research and you can decide for yourself. The main question I want to talk about today is, are we weak because we get old, or do we get old because we allow ourselves to become weak? See, that's a different way of asking the same question. It leads you to a different place, because I can tell you, I have been the same way up until about a year ago, until I started doing some research on diet and different things like that. That, as you know, everybody that, you know, I'm 50 years old, so when you start hitting 40, oh man, it's going to start falling apart. You just wait, you're going to get weak, you know, your balance is going to get off, you're going to hurt when you get up in the morning, you're going to have all this stuff. And I've heard that my whole life. I've seen that with my own eyes, with countless people when they get into the 40s, 50s, and 60s. And the constant complaining about just how rough it is to be, you know, half a century old or somewhere on either side of that, about a, you know, about equal distance. Now, I know if you're young, you're probably not going to listen to the actual message that I'm giving today, for the simple fact that you're young, you're bulletproof, you never think that you're going to be my age. Just like about 3 weeks ago, when it seems like I was your age, you don't believe you're going to be my age, so you're not going to think that this is important. But hopefully, one of these days, when you start, you know, hearing everybody, because you get up in the morning and your joints are hurting, and you know, it seems like it takes you about 30 seconds to get your pee going and all that type stuff, and hopefully you'd be ready for the message at that time, because I do believe this is a life changer. And I can tell you from my own experience, my own journey in the last 8 to 9 months, it is absolutely life-changing to the person that takes it serious. And I have taken it serious about the last 8 months, because I was getting weaker as I was getting older. But what I've learned in the last 9 months is, I wasn't getting weak because I was getting old. I was getting older because I was allowing myself to become weak, mentally and physically, but a whole lot of physically. And I had a jar of butter, of sweet, see, what were those things? Butter pickles that Cindy brought me one night to open, and that little jar kicked my butt. 331 pound grown man could not open a jar of pickles. 49 years old. I'm not a couch potato. I'm doing stuff all the time. It absolutely stomped my butt. I've noticed a lot of other things, like it seems like it's easier to get off balance and different things. I was noticing that things that used to not be heavy at all started to become very heavy. And it just kind of weighed on me, because at 49 years old, that's like, you know, I still got a good quarter of my life ahead of me, probably. But it was seeming to go downhill faster than there was left of the quarter. So I started research on diet, and I started looking at the anthropology and the paleo, and then that brought me into keto, then that led me into carnivore, kind of where I am now. And that led me into okay, if I'm getting weak, then I have to correct that. So I started doing push-ups and sit-ups and deadlifts in the yard. And I had these little stretchy cords that I was doing, like tricep extensions while I'm in the shop, you know, working and different things like that. And I did that for 4 months. Then right around the first of this year of 2019, I actually went to a small gym that's right up the road. And I've been going there 5 days a week since. At 50 years old, and I'm not saying this to brag. That's not the point. I don't think I'm special about this at all. The only special part about me is I'm actually doing this at 50 years old. I go to the gym and I work my butt off. Because I understand when someone says work out, the first part of that phrase is work. It's not going in there and lifting weights like you're 2 days out of an open heart surgery, which is what I see most people do it. I'm very serious when I go in there. I push weight, I pull weight, I lift stuff off the ground. I really push myself, and when that hour's done, I don't think about it no more. It's over. But just in 4 months of that, I'm as strong now as I was in the weight room when I was in the military. Just 4 months. Now, I do agree that being 50 years old, I'm a lot mentally stronger now than I was then, and I think that has something to do with it. I did have some muscle memory because I've lifted weights off and on. You know, I think the last time I actually lifted weights was probably 12 years ago. But in just 4 months of taking it serious with a good diet, like, you know, mostly eating just animal products, meat, hard cheese, eggs, dairy, stuff like that, really high nutrient dense food, I could lift with my 25 year old self on most things. I'm probably about 100 pounds off on deadlift. I can't squat because of my shoulders coming out of socket in the military and a bunch of different stuff. I'm scared to get under a bar like that. But so I don't know what that would be like exactly. But as far as benching, you know, just like I said, guys, this is not bragging. There's no reason for you to be getting weaker when you're 50 or 60 years old. I just don't believe that. I'm doing 8 to 10 reps with this 4 months of training by taking it serious of 265 to 75 pounds. That's not a max. That's actually reps. You know, my goal when I started doing this was just to do like I see the NFL players doing, where they do 225 and 20 is kind of like the magic number for the Columbine. So I was like, I want to see if I can work up to do 225 for 20 reps. Once I did that, I started adding 5 pounds. Resistance training it up. So if you're like me a year ago, 330 pounds. Guys, I was bigger than majority of the NFL linemen that makes a living playing professional football. I was bigger than most pro wrestlers. That's pretty freaking big. You know, 331 pounds. That's nothing to be brag about. I mean, that's crazy to be that big. Because I'll be honest with you, I was a freaking marshmallow. If I were to get in a fight and someone's going to come hit me in the stomach, they better have a lot of power because they had a lot of cushion to go through. You get the little fat man boob stuff going on the side of your titties, you know, and you got this thing sticking out over your belt, and it is, for one, it's not healthy, and two, it's not necessary. It doesn't take that much discipline not to be a 331-pound marshmallow. But for pretty much within 5 years of me getting out of the military, when I got out of the military, I weighed 240 pounds. I went up to about 300, and about 5 years after that, I was in the 330 to 340 range, and I've been that way all up until about a year and a half ago. Now, as we go through a lot of this type of stuff I'm going to be talking about, weight now, to me, is not a big it's not a metric that I'm really worried about, and I'll explain that to you why as we go along with some of these where I'm doing the podcast and we talk about fitness, especially if you're getting middle-aged guys. Especially if you're getting middle-aged. But do we get weak because we get old, or do we get old because we choose to become weak? And I am now a firm believer that we get weak and older because we choose to. And before we talk about our sponsor, I want to just let something hang in the air. Whether you want to admit it or not, whether you want to believe it or not, whether you've ever thought about it in this context or not, you are an extreme athlete. I don't care if you weigh 640 pounds or you weigh 120 pounds and you do Ironman triathlons. I really don't care. I don't care if you work at a desk or you work on a farm. I don't care if you're a professional hunting guide. I don't care if you're a rancher. I don't care if you're an auto mechanic. I don't care if you work in a factory. It does not matter. You are unequivocally an extreme athlete. Have you wondered what the game is? It's aging. The most brutal sport man will ever go through. Aging. Most people never walk out on the field when it comes to aging, and they just sit on the sidelines and they turn into a big bag of goo filled with medication, shoving needles in themselves because of diabetes, arthritis, skin rashes. The last time they had sex, they'd have to go back and, like, you know, figure that out on a calendar somewhere. Going, if you had to run 10 feet, it'd take you 4 days to recover. That's average today for Americans. That is the average 50 and 60 year old person today. And I dare say it's average for a lot of 30 and 40 year olds. Age is freaking a brutal sport. Eventually, you're gonna lose. I have determined in my head, yes, Mother Nature is gonna strip me of strength and the ability to do what I need to do. But I can tell you right now, that bitch is going to have to work her ass off to get it away from me. I realize now that I am an extreme athlete, just as you are, whether you realize that or not. And we're going to go over a set of twins tonight that's going to maybe put this in a little bit of a variance. Now, I totally get. I know who my audience is right now because it was the same audience pretty much, because this has not went on iTunes or anything yet. That when we go to our conventions in the summer, we are the poorest looking extreme athletes you've ever seen in your life. Now, we'll go out and we'll bust our butt in the woods. But just if we had to walk around the convention floor 3 or 4 times without stopping, we're going to be out of breath. Because I was not unusual at 331 pounds. I had plenty of brethren that weighed more than me at 331 pounds. And some at 300, and some at 280, and some at 250. Bending over. I mean, when I watch people give demos and just watching them having to bend over and do a trap, it's like they're doing a freaking deadlift exercise to get off the ground. There's no reason for that at all. But if you look at the sport that you're in of aging, and you decide that you're going to actually train yourself to be in that sport, the sport looks a little bit different than the two twins we're going to talk about tonight. So if I haven't lost you yet, I want to mention our sponsor, which is Funky Trap Tags and Supplies. Alan Sayers is a good friend of mine. If you're into trapping or calling or a lot of other outdoor type adventures that you could go on, he's probably got it. He is. He's got a great shipping system. He's very honorable man, and that is not an exaggeration. I trust him so much that he actually ships my products for me. I trust him that much. And he sponsors the Man Strong podcast. So if you like stuff like that, you ought to go check it out. And you can find that you can get discounts from him on the Trapping Radio Fur Brigade. So, great sponsor. Supports what you're listening to. So support him if you're into that type stuff. I want to talk about two brothers. These brothers have actually been real several times in history. I'm giving them a name because I usually like to give an example of Billy Bob, and hopefully there's not a Billy Bob that listens and thinks I'm making fun of him. It's not. It's just a general term. But Billy and Bob. So they're two brothers. One's named Billy, one named Bob. They're identical twins. They grew up in the same house. They had the same parents. They had the same upbringing. They ate the same food. They slept under the same roof. They've actually got the same genotype. But Billy and Bob have a different outlook on life. One realized he was an extreme athlete in the game of aging, and one did not. One gave up, and one made Mother Nature work for it. So Billy has a desk job. Makes a decent amount of money. Eats crap all the time. Nothing but pizzas and burgers and chicken fingers and pasta and all of the goody, goody, goody food that we all love to eat. And he eats fast food, very rarely cooks. If he does cook, it's just something that's out of the box he throws in the microwave that's nothing but processed food. And this goes on for years. He drinks a lot. He stays up late all the time, so his rest is all out of whack. And he's one of those guys, and I've done this in my past too, so I'm just as guilty of this as anybody else. I used to enjoy, one of the things I used to do just out of pure meanness, even when I got out of the military weighing 340 pounds, because I'll be honest with you, seeing somebody exercising when you're 340 pounds, you're going to have to figure out a way to justify why your big butt is 340 pounds, and they look like they ain't 340 pounds because they actually look like they're in shape. So my way of dealing with that is I would pull up to them and roll down the window, and I go, dude, is everything okay? And they'll go, yeah. And I go, well, who's chasing you? And they'd go, nobody's chasing me. I'd go, why are you running? And I'd kind of grin, and they would kind of like, okay, smart butt. And then I would drive off. That was my way of justifying and dealing with seeing somebody that wasn't a big old fat marshmallow like I was. But always making fun of exercise instead of actually doing it. Too busy to exercise. See, Billy had all the excuses of the modern day world. Works hard, he's got bad bosses, wife's on his back all the time, comes back, a lot of stress at work, sits down, eats junk while he's at work, drinks so he don't have to think about the misery going back to work the next day, plays video games, binges on Netflix. Does any of this sound familiar? And then you've got Bob, twin brother, same upbringing, same genotype. Played sports when he was in high school, has his desk job just like Billy does. But before or after work, he's made a habit of 3 or 4 days a week, he goes into the gym and he lifts and he exercises. He hikes and camps on the weekend with his girlfriend. He's just made a habit that everybody makes fun of him for because he always takes the stairs instead of the elevator. He eats real food. He, you know, he splurges every now and then, but for the most part, he's eating real food. You know, something that doesn't actually come out of a factory. Not the human pet food, but real food. He drinks with friends occasionally, and he likes to hunt and fish, and he'll eat what he kills. Now, see, Billy and Bob, you would think, because everybody today wants to blame genetics, but these two basically have the same genetics. But Billy and Bob have a different life. But see, Billy, because he doesn't do anything but eat crap and sit around all the time, he gets fat, really fat, say 130 to 40 pounds, just like I was. He becomes weak because he didn't do anything. He ends up getting diabetes because he's shoving sugar in his mouth in the form of grains and regular sugar and sweets all the time, so he gets type 2 diabetes. He doesn't feel good because he has diabetes and always struggling with his sugar, which causes him to move less, which causes him to get weaker, which causes him to get fatter, which causes him to have to start taking more insulin. He loses about 50% of his muscle mass because he doesn't feel like doing anything. His joints, now tell me if this sounds familiar, his joints seem like they're always hurting. His knees, his ankles, his shoulders, his fingers, his wrist. They just always seem to be hurting, you know, and it's common. You know, he's getting on up in age a little bit, so he's got arthritis, which is a disease, they try to tell us. You know, measles is a disease. Arthritis, for the most part, for most people, is not a disease. It's a consequence of what you eat. But he's always inflamed. His joints are always hurting because of what he's eating. He always has headaches. His blood pressure's sky high. The doctor's always telling him he needs to start exercising and getting on a diet. He loses his breath just to get up and go to the fridge because he's got to get his big old butt off the couch. And when he does try to have sex with his wife, she's so worried by the way that he's breathing and sweating on top of her that she's feeding him baby aspirin, trying not to let him have a heart attack till he gets done. But he doesn't think there's anything that can happen because it's, quote, genetics, and it's, quote, becoming older. He gets full-blown type 2 diabetes when he's 51 years old. He's taking buckets of meds because all the meds he takes is giving him different side effects, which is making him feel worse, which is making him cause him to get fatter, cause him to get weaker. His bones are getting brittle. His ligaments are getting brittle. He don't have any energy whatsoever, could care less about sex anymore because of all the meds he's taken. And he lives pretty much a miserable, painful life until he dies at the age of 64 with a heart attack. So for all those years, miserable, painful life. Bob, the other brother, he lives life. He's not on the couch all the time. He makes a conscious effort to stay strong. He has no real health issues. He dies at 86 while hiking with his 43-year-old girlfriend on a weekend fishing trip. What I want you to think about those two brothers with the same genotypes. Their actions caused the results of their life. Whether we want to believe it or not, or if you think it's mean or not, we all get exactly what we deserve for the most part when it comes to our health. Now, there are exceptions. Some people are born with deformities. Some people are born with different things. You could get really hurt just by purely by an accident. But see, that's not the majority of Americans. They want to act like, I've got the disease of arthritis, and I've got the disease of diabetes, and I've got this other disease of this, and everything now is a disease. And you go into a doctor when you get older, and lo and behold, what happens? He sits you down, he checks your heart, your blood pressure, your temperature, asks you how you're feeling, asks you what medications you're on, you know, basically saying you're getting older, you need to take it easy, just enjoy life, different things like that. You start telling about these new problems. That's just part of getting old. And doctors are now saying that younger and younger to people. And you listen to your doctor. So you take it easy. You keep taking your medicines. You keep eating the same way, because most doctors will tell you that diet doesn't really have anything to do with anything except for your heart. And they've got a pill for it anyway. And then you take it easy, and you get weaker, your bones get brittle, and you turn into this big old pile of human goo waiting to die. How sad is that? That is a majority of Americans that are in retirement. They're building new nursing homes all the time because people choose to be weak, and they use the excuse of being old. And they don't have the self-discipline to understand that if you eat chemical crap out of a factory, it's not made for a organic organism such as a human. And they think just because the USDA says it's healthy, because you can get a food pass now if you put a vitamin pill mixed up with sawdust, it meets the requirement of being a healthy USDA food. That's actually been done. And people just give up. See, the extreme sport of aging, the life doesn't quit just because you start getting older. My neighbor she called me today and said she's going to have to be going in and out because there were some people that turned her dogs loose the other day, which we're going to talk about that in a future show. She has to go to the hospital because she didn't brace herself good enough to pick up a gallon of water. She's not in her 90s, guys. I have watched so many people that's only 15 years older than me. They struggle to get out of the chair. They talk about how hard it is to get off the toilet. They can't open anything in the kitchen. They got to have some type of machine to do it for them. Picking up a box that weighs 50 pounds, it might as well be 300. Be able to put something on a high shelf is asking them to do a Herculean event. See, all those things are in life. There's stairs in real life you got to be able to go up. What if you start falling and you don't have the muscle or the bone density to actually get the mobility to catch yourself? Most doctors will tell you that people don't break their hips because they fall. Their hips break, then they fall. They're so brittle. There's no excuse for that. You want to play with your children or your grandchildren? Or you want to be able to play a pickup game of volleyball on the beach if y'all go to Florida or something? Or shoot hoops with the nephews when they come in for Thanksgiving. You can hang out. See, all that's part of real life. But somehow people get in this zone when they seem to be getting, and what I can tell from a lot of my friends, that I've talked to over the years, most people start giving up on anything about my age. And when they hit 60, it goes way downhill. But they're already almost in basically 10 years of bed rest by the time they get to 60. And they wonder why they can't do anything. I watched several videos a few days ago just because I heard about a guy on a podcast that was 93 years old and goes in the gym every week and deadlifts 200 pounds. 93. I thought that was impressive. Go look up on YouTube. There's an 87-year-old woman that's deadlifting, I think it's 185 pounds. There's 80-something-year-old men that's deadlifting 500 pounds. Now, if it's age, how are they doing that? Do you think they're just a miracle? No. They understood the sport they're in of aging, and it's an extreme one. And you can either get in the arena, because unlike a UFC fight, you've got those three rounds where you're trying to kill each other. When that last whistle's blown, if they have whistles, I haven't watched it in 20 years, but if they have whistles, that game is over. If you put two gladiators from Rome in the ring with swords, when one kills the other one, the game is over. After four quarters, two football teams, the game is over. We can go on with the different sports. The X Games, you got all the little rubber people that can do all the crazy stuff on snowboards and skateboards. When that competition is over, it's over. That's not the game of aging. It's not four quarters. It's not a short period of time. It's a consistent game with very extreme penalties if you don't play the game right. And the penalties come in the form of death, diabetes, heart attacks, strokes, liver failures, broken hips, broken arms, broken legs. I'm not going to mention a name here. There was an older person that I know personally that when they finally went in to give him x-rays, they found out he had, I think it was a broke hip and a broke neck because he was so brittle and he don't even know how it happened. And he was much younger than the people that are deadlifting close to 200 pounds. He couldn't do that with 80 pounds. It would kill him. Brittle. The game of aging is the game that matters most to you. When you go look at historical records, this is where modern day civilization, the bubble that we live in today, has got us so confused on what aging is. When you look at some of the older texts with Chinese and Japanese, you would have 75-year-olds doing more work than we could at 30-year-old here in America. And then they would just get, when it was their time, they'd have about a week, and then they would pass away. When you listen and you read about some of the Native Americans in this country, that was a very similar way to die. People didn't have nursing homes. People didn't get weak, because they actually did stuff all the time. They didn't do what we do today and think it's normal. It used to be, in the way that I think humans are designed to, as you go until the battery just runs out and you die. That's not what we do. We start unplugging the battery and draining the battery about 30, 40 years early, and we start pumping us with medication. We start laying around, we start sitting around, we start watching TV, we start becoming weaker, we start becoming more brittle, we get our balance all out of whack, we have no mobility, and then we think that is normal. No, it's not normal. That's normal here in America. That is one of the byproducts of such a wealthy nation, because we're one of the few times in history where someone could become 50, 60, 70 years old and not have to worry about making a living anymore. That's what his idea of retirement comes up from. I don't understand that myself. I can't imagine not doing anything. No matter if I had money or not, I'd still have to do something. I'd be motivated about something. That's the way the human, because that's what we still are, that's the way all through history it was. You just didn't get sick for years. You just kept going, and then all of a sudden there was a couple of weeks there where it just started going downhill, and you just laid around and you died. See, you died well. There's a lot of Chinese and Japanese proverbs that talk about this. That's what they're talking about. It's not talking about it being a samurai warrior or something. It's talking about being strong enough up to the time of your death that you die well. We don't die well in America anymore. We die miserable. We try to make it as painful on ourselves as we can, either through lack of discipline or ignorance. One of the two, but it's happening. So you definitely are an extreme athlete, and you are in a brutal sport that's not going to be over in like you're watching a movie. Because the longer you play the sport, the higher the stakes become. There's things about the sport of aging that I want you to think about. One is mobility, balance, strength, muscle mass, endurance, bone density, metabolism, and cell health. Because there's a huge confusion today, in my opinion, about what older people do because their doctors tell them to, about what they should be doing for, quote, exercise. Guys, I'm not telling you should exercise. Exercise is something you do to go get sweaty and get sore. Well, I can put you on my roof when it's 100 degrees outside and you'll get sweaty when I throw your butt off. You're going to be sore when you hit the ground. It ain't going to help you with aging. Mindlessly exercising, to quote exercise, is not training for the game of aging. Athletes have to train. That's the way I wish that you would look at your life. Because you don't get a do-over. The pain and misery of getting older and the standard American way, that's not something I'd wish on an enemy. But that's what a majority of people are going to go through. And I'm determined that's not going to be me. And I'm hoping that you get determined as an athlete that you train so it's not you. Now, I've got a theory on what is the best way to train for getting older. And I think it is resistance training. And I'm going to try to explain that to you here very quickly so you can just think on this a little bit. You can do yoga. You can play sports. You can go running. You can play basketball. You can play tennis, pickleball. You can go walk your little 15 minutes every day like the doctor tells you to do. But as far as the game of aging, that's not really going to help you very much. Think about the game of aging. Think about life. Getting groceries out of your car takes strength. Now, if you're my age now, that doesn't seem like a big deal. Have you ever seen old people get groceries out of the car? Well, 30 pounds to them, it seems like it's 150 to me and you. Gravity's not different for them. They've lost their muscle mass. See, the interesting thing about muscles is, not to get too deep into the weeds on this, but you got slow twitch and you got fast twitch. Slow twitch doesn't really go away with age. All kind of studies showing that. Slow twitch is more for endurance, like walking, running, stuff like that. doing low energy expenditures for a longer amount of time. That's what they do. Fast twitch, on the other hand, aging strips from you, if you allow it, extremely fast. You lose, starting about age 40, a normal human loses 1 pound of muscle mass a year. By the time that person is in their, I think it's 70s, they've lost 50% of their type 2 muscle fibers, which is strength. And this is studies based off Americans. In modern times, 50%. Type 2 muscle fibers and cells shrivel up and they go away. It's not the same for endurance. Endurance does not pick anything up. When you say type 2, that's for speed. That's for picking something up. Like, you're falling because you got tripped up on your stairs, need to catch yourself. That takes type 2. Endurance muscles aren't going to help you very much with that. Grabbing a grandkid out of the way of a dog that's about to bite his head off takes type 2, not endurance. Getting off the toilet takes type 2, not endurance. Having sex takes more type 2 than endurance, especially for the average man. All your everyday thing that you do that you don't think about as you're younger, it's mostly type 2. You have way more of those than you do endurance cell muscles. And the neat thing about type 2 over type 1, which is the endurance one, they don't really grow much. They don't really expand all that much. They can get a little bit more efficient. They don't do a whole lot. Now, I'm not talking about being a bodybuilder here. I'm just talking about being strong. Resistance training. Type 2 has an interesting thing that happens when you actually train type 2 muscles, which is resistance training. They grow and they multiply, unlike type 1. The neat thing about that is, once you start building some muscle mass, you have androgen receptors in all those new cells. So it's easier to keep the muscle mass if you start building some muscle mass. Or you can gain more muscle mass depending on how hard you want to work. The more muscle mass you have, the more it insulates you against diabetes. But your doctor didn't tell you that one, did he? And that's a common known thing to anybody that is into the health side of things. Because glucose, and I keep in mind, if you have decent muscle mass, that is the biggest organ that you have in your entire body. So when you do eat sugars, or something you eat is converted to sugar, your muscles, the more that you have of them, can absorb that sugar without causing the chaos that comes with all the problems of people that are insulin resistant, which leads to diabetes, which leads to type 1, or it leads to Alzheimer's, type 3 diabetes. So it's a shock absorber for a lot of the nutrients that you take in, that if you don't have them, you have no shock absorber, and now you're dealing with hormone problems and extra fat problems and visceral fat problems and all this type stuff. That if you just had some muscle on you, because you're going to actually train it that way, you have a shock absorber. When you lift weights, you release hormones that cause different cells in your body to want to regenerate and get stronger. If you don't do resistance type stuff the way most people don't when they get older, your hormones start getting out of whack and your cells don't get what they need and they go away. And this is what they call cell termination. Cells that don't get what they need are going to become sick and, i.e., become cancer a lot of times. So the cells themselves commit suicide because they're not getting stuff. And if you're feeding it too much sugar and your hormones are out of whack and a lot of this other stuff is going on, a lot of your cells start terminating. Weight training also helps you with balance. If you do actual resistance training, I'm talking barbell, standing up, not sitting down, not just always being on machines. Balance. And it helps you with everyday life movements. See, that's very different from yoga. Yoga really stretches you out. I've done it before. I did it for about 2 years. It was very interesting to watch how that would work in the body. I'm not saying you shouldn't do yoga. I'm not saying you shouldn't play basketball. I'm not saying you shouldn't go for your 20-minute walk. But the difference between a 20-minute walk and lifting resistance weights where you actually got to work, you get more cardiovascular from lifting weights than you're ever going to from a 20-minute walk. When people talk about the advantage of endurance exercise, they're talking about people that are running a lot. And unless that's going to be you, that's not going to help you. But it's not going to help with your type 2 muscle cells. It's not going to help you with your insulin. It's not going to help with your hormones. And there's a lot of issues that come with running where it doesn't seem to be the healthiest thing to do. So just doing stuff on the treadmill and the stair climber and stuff like that, that is not going to ever train you to be an athlete in the extreme sport of aging. Some other things that the weightlifting does that these other exercises absolutely do not do, which becomes important the longer you're in this game. Your bones, when you don't put resistance on them, become brittle. Now again, this is now considered a disease. And I'm sure chemically there are some people that get osteoporosis and stuff like that, that it is a disease. A small percentage. Most people get that way because they don't do any physical labor that puts any stress on their bones, so their bones do not release the chemicals to actually harden the bone to be able to handle the load that they're trying to do. And their bones break. That's not a disease, that's a consequence of the actions of the person. Older people, as you get older, if you don't do... It doesn't have to be resistance training like with weights. If you're not doing something where you're physically putting a load on your body, your bones are going to get weak. You're going to lose the gain quicker. So when you see all these nice little old ladies that can't pick up anything, they all seem to have bone problems. Why? Because they don't have any resistance to cause bone density. The other thing that happens is you got people that are always getting injured with their knees, their elbows, their ankles, their shoulders, and everything else. It's because they have weak tendons and ligaments. Because when you do resistance training, that keeps those in shape. Walking does not do that. Yoga does to a point. Riding a bike is not going to do that. It takes resistance to keep those things working. Or you're going to get weaker and you're going to lose the game of aging quicker. And when you lose that game, think of Billy. Because that's the reason it's so common today is Billy didn't do any of these things. Now, am I saying that you need to be a fanatical health nut? No. Am I saying that you need to be a super strict eater? Not really. But as you get older, your doctor is going to tell you to eat less protein and more plants. And if you do that, you've already lost the game of aging. Because as you get older, you don't metabolize protein the same way you do when you're younger. And it's going to cause you, without protein, to lose your muscle mass quicker. And because everybody's scared of cholesterol and saturated fats, you're going to be cutting those out because you want to stay healthy. And your brain starts just eating itself because there's not enough cholesterol in there to feed it. Eating less protein and less cholesterol is not what you want to do when you start getting older. It's actually the complete opposite. Now, I know what someone's going to say, because there's a lot of myths and there's a lot of marketing from drug companies today that really gets people confused. Last week, me and my doctor went over my blood numbers in detail for actually the last three times I've had it done. My last blood numbers eating, like today, my diet is pretty simple. I keep it simple so I don't have to think about it. I eat 5 chicken eggs that I make into double eggs every morning. That's 5 eggs with the yolks with a little bit of mayonnaise. I'm not putting any type of sweet pickles or anything. And then normally before I go lift weights, because the gym's the least crowded, is usually around 10, 10:30. I will drink a pint and a half of milk. For lunch, I'll have a pound and a half of hamburger patties. If I'm working on my metabolism the way I am now, I drink another 16 ounces of milk, usually about 3 o'clock. And then for dinner, I'll eat a pound to a pound and a half of meat. I'm not eating vegetables. I'm not eating fruit, except for one meal a day where me and Cindy go have a nice meal. I don't even worry about whatever it is. I just eat whatever looks like it's going to be interesting. Besides that one meal a week, I don't eat anything but high-density food from animal products. That's it. Now, most people that will hear that will think that I'm going to die of a heart attack. I'm going to get scurvy. I'm going to be constipated. I'm going to be doing all this. That diet for me is very easy. That diet may not be easy for you. My blood numbers, he said, is some of the best he's seen from any of the patients that he's seen in the last year. Now, the guy that I go to, mid-30s, 125 pounds, looks like he could run a marathon. He said his numbers, he wish he could change with me. A 291 pound 50-year-old that hadn't touched a vegetable in 8 months. Hasn't touched fruit in 8 months. Ate high-density, high-nutrition food. Cholesterol, awesome. LDL, HDL, perfect. Blood pressure, good. All the blood lipids, all that, great. Iron, good. We went through every single one of them. My triglycerides are a little bit high. And after we talked that over, he told me not to worry about it because my other numbers are so good. But see, here's the thing. When you eat like I eat, you're constantly going in and out of ketosis. All that stuff's going to be in your bloodstream. Where do they take your blood from? Your bloodstream. So as it's flushing out, your triglycerides are going to be higher. That's the way that your fat comes out of your body. It's different if you're a fat guy or girl and you're not losing weight and you're those numbers are still high, because that ain't coming from you losing fat. That's coming from you just eating like crap. Very different. So my blood work, he could not believe the kidney function, the liver function, all the blood numbers. He could not believe it. Especially because I told him I was on the carnivore diet. That didn't really make a whole lot of sense to him, so he didn't really say anything. He asked me specifically what that meant. His mouth was hanging open. He's went and did a little bit of research. I saw him the other day at the grocery store. He said, you know, I have a feeling in the next 20 years, the way you're eating is going to become more the normal way for health. That blew me away. That came from a doctor. Because he's disbelieved all this time what they taught him at medical school. And if you look at the history and you look at where the studies come from and who funds the studies and how the studies are done, it's with so much bias, it's unbelievable. And you got the biggest push in the world right now from animal rights activists that clone themselves into the form of a vegan, and they're trying to push plant food off everybody else. If I needed all those plants, I believe my blood work and liver functions and I mean, all that would be out of whack, don't you? I don't think I'm a special person, because if you go to a website that calls Meat Heals, spend an afternoon looking at that. Be a couch potato. It'll be worth your time. People that eat just like I do, listen to their stories. It will floor you. And most people, once they start eating that way, they start gaining muscle anyway. Now see, the interesting thing that I'm going to end the podcast with, the reason I'm not worried about weight, I weigh 291 pounds right now. The difference is I've lost 3 pant sizes since I've started the carnivore diet. When I went down because of low calories and paleo, I got down at one time to 200 and I think it was 68 pounds or something like that. When I did it that way, I still only lost 1 pant size. Actually, when I started the carnivore diet, I weighed 280 pounds. 282, that's about what it was showing when I started. Since on the carnivore diet, I have gained to 291. I have lost 3 pant sizes. I'm 2 pant sizes now away from being what I wore in the military when I was the closest in my life of being nothing but twisted steel because of what I did. 2 pant sizes away at 50 years old in 8 months. Now, if I was worried about my weight, I wouldn't be lifting weights. And if you understand how the metabolism works, guys, if you want to lose weight, gain muscle. The biggest travesty that's been forwarded on the American population is low calorie and endurance exercise. I'm sorry, that is the stupidest advice I've ever heard in my life. I'm losing 3 pant sizes and I eat like 4,000 calories a day. But when I do go to the gym, it's freaking epic. When I walk out of there, I'm glad to be out of there. I don't go in there and piddle. And then I'm done. The more muscle you put on, not only do you feel better, not only as a man do you start getting armor again that you hadn't felt in years, you start standing straighter, you start walking with a different gait. Your wife's not feeding you baby aspirin because she's afraid you're going to have a heart attack during sex. You lose fat. And it's a very simple process that anybody, even doctors, understand this, but they still go back to the same craziness of lower your calories and go jogging or walking. The more muscle you have, the more expensive it becomes on your calorie intake. Your metabolism goes up. When you cut calories, you kill your metabolism. Your body's going to hold on to everything that you give it. You will lose some weight, but you're going to be hungry and you're going to be starving all the time. That's why people that are on diets are always focused on food. That's all they can think about. They're starving. That's why diets got die before the T, because you're dying. And your metabolism knows it, so it shuts down. But when you actually start doing resistance training and you actually do it with a little bit of aggression and you actually do it to where you understand where it's uncomfortable to the point where you're pushing stuff around, you start building muscle. Lo and behold, every bit of muscle you do takes more calories just to stay that way, so your body feeds your calories to your muscles and not your beer gut. Now, I still got fat on me. I've got pizza from 2002 that is a stubborn SOB that does not want to come off around my belly. And I still got some of that nasty side man titty stuff going on. But eventually, I have no doubt in my mind, that's going to become a lot less by the way that I'm eating. And it ain't because of doing endurance type stuff or lowering my calories. Because my metabolism has sped up to the point of gaining muscle that it has to take those calories in just to maintain. Any type of calorie restriction at this point is going to cause a faster weight loss. To me, I'd rather put on muscle and let the muscle take the fat off instead of being miserable and letting me be miserable to try to take the fat off. Because then I'm going to lose all my muscle mass, and then I'm going to get weaker, and all the problems we've been talking about is going to put me farther in the game of aging. But you are an extreme athlete. And the game you're playing is serious, whether you realize you signed up for it or not. Your diet matters, and you better start moving some stuff if you want to survive this game as long as you can. Personally, I want to die well. I just want the battery to run out. I've seen too many people, not too much older than me, that spend 30 years suffering when they didn't have to. Choice is yours. Consequences are serious.